One of my best friends in the ministry was a guy named Jim Lentz, and one of the best preachers I've ever heard in my life, and he and I were really good friends. And he was in the Vietnam War and got hit with that Agent Orange pretty bad, got cancer, ate him up. He went home to be with the Lord. I guess it's probably been 10 years ago now. I guess it's been a while, but he was 67 years old. And he called his family to his bed, and his associate pastor, Brother Wheeler, told me about it. He said, preacher called him over there, and in the bed, that's the last thing he told him, he's on bed. He said, this is not a big deal. Don't make this a big deal. He said, I'm just going home a little bit earlier, ahead of you guys. He said, don't worry about it. He said, I'll be waiting for you when you get there. That was his last word. See, she's waiting for you, Brother Dalton. This thing, it'll be over before you know it. We'll all be up there. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and Ephesians chapter 6. It's just good to be in the house of God, isn't it? It's just good to be here. We can sing and shout and have a good time and just rejoice in the Lord for a little bit, because you get beat up all week, you know. You got doctor's appointments, you got this, you got it. It's just good to get away from all that stuff for a little while and just get alone with the Lord, have a good time, and just... put all that beside you, the cares of this life, and the deceitfulness of riches, and lust of other things. And we battle that stuff all week. We all go through it. We all deal with that stuff. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. It's a great verse here. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I preached about that a few years ago. And all things are of God. Verse 18. Who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Every one of us here has that ministry of reconciliation. We try to get people right and reconcile with God. That's what it's all about. In verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, and imputing their trespasses unto them, hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. That's what we do. And verse 20 says this, a great verse. Now then, because of that, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you unto us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. And I want you to notice that verse 20, now we are ambassadors for Christ. And that's what I want to preach a little bit this morning on, ambassadors for Christ. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. You and I, God gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to reconcile that lost soul to the Lord by Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, ambassadors for Christ. And the word ambassador occurs 12 times in the Old King James Bible. It occurs 10 times in the Old Testament and twice in the New Testament. This is the other time it shows up in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 6 says this. And Paul's in jail in Ephesians chapter 6. Most of the Bible he writes, he's in jail. He was a jailbird. That's where he spent most of his ministry, in the jails. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. He's in jail, still preaching. For which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. He said, I'm in jail, just give it to me. He said, I'm an ambassador in jail in here because of what I've done for Jesus Christ. And I want to preach about ambassadors this morning, ambassador for Christ. We have ambassadors in the United States. An ambassador is a person who represents someone else or their own government while they live in another country. That's what they do. We have America right now, currently, we have 188 ambassadors from the United States. What they do, they'll send them to, they'll have a, you know, we got ambassadors for the United States for China. They go to China and they live there in the embassy in China or Russia, Japan. That we have 188 of them that go to other countries, Brother Ben, and they represent the United States of America, and they fight for us there, and they take our side and they defend us over there in those other countries. And we have ambassador Russia, China, Britain, Japan, Israel, all the main. We got ambassador to Azerbaijan. How many ever heard of that? I never heard of that. Azerbaijan. Azerbaijan is a country. And the ambassador's name is Earl Litzenberger. How many ever heard of Earl Litzen? I never heard of it. Azerbaijan is in the Republic of Azerbaijan in the South Caucasus, C-A-U-C-A-S-U-S, never heard of that, region of Eurasia. Never heard of that. We got ambassadors all over the place, and they go over and live in these countries, and they represent America over there, and they defend us and kind of watch out. They have an ambassador to the Bahamas. Now, that wouldn't be a bad job, Brother Donna. I'll volunteer for that one. I wouldn't mind being an ambassador over there to Bahamas, you know, one of those kind of deals, but they'd probably stick me over at Azerbaijan or something like that. But they have ambassadors of the United Nations, the Vatican. We have people there, and they serve at the pleasure of the president. That's what they serve at. And they serve at the pleasure of the one that called him. And an ambassador is someone who represents a government living in another country. And ambassador, the word is a Celtic word, and it literally means a messenger or a servant. An ambassador is a messenger or servant that goes somewhere else and represents someone else from another country. Hey, could that not be a better, perfect description than the born-again child of God? We're in another country right now, folks. This is not home. Miss Michelle got the victory because she got to go home, see. We don't have the real victory down here. We fight and we battle it. One day we're down here in a foreign country representing somebody else. And I want to give you a few things about that ambassador for Christ. I want to say the first thing about ambassador Christ or an ambassador, they represent the one that sent them. They don't represent themselves. They don't represent their families. They don't represent their friends. They represent an ambassador. When they send an ambassador for the United States to China over there, they're over there. You know what they do, Brother Ben? They're over there representing the one that sent them. They don't represent themselves. They're over there telling and represent the one that sent them. It's considered a great honor to be an ambassador to the United States. Most of the people that are ambassadors to the United States, they pay for their position. That's what they do. Most of them that are ambassadors, they gave Trump a lot of money during the campaign, and they gave money and he made them an ambassador. And they go over there and represent. It's considered a great honor to be an ambassador and represent the United States of America. You know what? You and I, we have the great honor and the great responsibility to represent the Lord of Lords. I mean, you talking about an honor, we're an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a great responsibility. That's a great honor and privilege and joy is to represent Jesus Christ in a foreign country where we're at right here. This is not my home, thank God. I remember Brother Roloff, you know. I love Lester Roloff. He had a way about him. And Brother Roloff, during the 80s and all that, he is pretty popular. He is all over the place. 60 Minutes did an interview with him. He was a real deal. He was an old time King James Bible believing preacher, brother. I'm telling you, you couldn't get that guy. Wouldn't a compromise wasn't in that man's soul. He is a real deal. And they asked him one time, they said, Brother Roloff, why don't you run for president? He said this. He said, I couldn't take a demotion like that. I couldn't step down from where I'm at. And you know, that may sound kind of funny, but you know what? If we realize this morning who it is that we represent, Miss Rachel, and who it is that we stand for and who it is that we speak for, I'm going to tell you, being the President of the United States is a step down from ambassador for Jesus Christ. We realize we represent the Lord of Lords. Jesus Christ is who we represent. An ambassador represents the one that sent him. Turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. We can realize this morning who it was that we represent as an ambassador for Christ. Paul said, we're ambassadors for Christ. We got the minister of reconciliation. You know what we do? We represent the one that sent us, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to do. John chapter 1. Tells us about a man. John chapter 1 verse 6 says this. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. That was John the Baptist. And the Bible said this. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. Capital L. That all men through him, John, might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. Brother John was an ambassador for Jesus Christ. He came to this world. He was sent from God. He had one purpose to be on this earth, and that was to bear witness of that light. That's what our job is down here. In John chapter 3 verse 30, John says this. He said he must increase, but I must decrease. And you're an ambassador to us. An ambassador represents the one that sent him. We're out and about, whatever you might be in your job, or at public, or wherever you might be, or at the gas station, you're at Walmart, like Miss Liz mentioned, or whatever. You know what you ought to be? You ought to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ, representing Him above everything. They ought to know when you go in public and when you leave that a Christian, a child of God, just left that place. And they ought to know it. An ambassador represents the one that sent him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17, we just saw. Paul talks about the ministry of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. That's what we are. We represent Him. You know why the reason we're here on this earth? You know why God didn't take us home like He did Michelle? You know why He didn't take us home like He did Brother Larry? You know why God didn't take us home the very second we got saved? To leave us down here to represent Him. That's what we're here for. Brother Ben hit the nail on the head a while back. We was talking about witnessing. And I was saying, man, we need to witness. And Brother Ben said, hey, what else are we here for but for that? That's it. We're here to represent Him. Brother Ben, bless my heart. He gives God the glory and praises about it. And he mentions several people. He mentioned it this morning. But several people all the time, because of his witness, they'll ask him to pray for them, don't they? You know why they do that? Because they know he's an ambassador for Christ and he represents him. And they'll get him together and say, hey, you're an ambassador for Christ. How about praying for me, brother? That's the way everybody around us ought to be. They ought to know who we represent, the Lord Jesus Christ. Miss Liz has called me many times on the phone with tears, talking to somebody about the Lord. Somebody around there. Somebody asked her to pray. Or somebody asked, you say, what is that? That's an ambassador for Christ. Wherever we go, wherever it's at, we ought to represent the one that sent us. A while back, I had to go to the Social Security office, and Miss Carol had told me about the nightmare at the Social Security office. I couldn't hardly sleep the night before, Miss Carol, because my name was completely different, my birth certificate. I thought, I'm going to lose all my Social Security benefits, Brother Don. I've been paying in this thing for 43 years, Miss Jane, and now I'm fixing to lose it because my name's all messed up. And what she was telling me, they're not going to ever get this thing straight. I couldn't hardly sleep that night. I was praying, Lord, you're going to have to take this thing, Lord. But when I got up that morning, Miss Carol, I told the Lord, I said, God, I'm giving this to you, Lord. And I said, Lord, I'm going to go to that place. And I said, Lord, I'm going to go in with the right attitude. I said, God, I'm going in with a smile. And I said, I'm going in, God, and everybody in that place is going to get a track for me before I leave that place. I'm not going to leave there till they get a track. And I said, I'm going to go in there praising you, God. If they lose all my benefits, God, and we go through it, I said, God, I'm still going to represent you. They're going to know a Christian came in that place. Amen. And I did. Everybody in there got a gospel track. And that lady I sat down with, Miss Liz, she was the sweetest, nicest thing in the world. In 2 minutes, she had me straightened out. And buddy, I was just hopping and skipping out the door. And I've been an ambassador for the Lord.
Praise God.
I went October, our tags were ready. And usually I'll mail them in or online do it. But I had the time in the courthouse right around the corner. And I said, Lord, I'm just going to go over there and pass out some gospel tracts. And I said, Lord, everybody in that place, if I can get to them, they're going to get a tract. Or one of the, I was actually giving out some of the get out of hell free cards. I said, every one of them in there, Lord, I'm going to make sure they're getting something for me. And I went in there, and I did. There wasn't a whole lot in there, probably about 30 people. But everybody in there, I tracked them down, went down their line, and I said, hey, I don't want to leak. Do you get one of these? And everybody, I didn't get nobody mad. Everybody smiled. He said, well, I'm just trying to be an ambassador for Christ. Nothing to it. Now, I can go on and on and on. I've given out tracts in public now. I've had 4 or 5 people tell me, hey, you gave me one at Walmart a while back. I said, glory to God, I know I'm getting around. One of them says, you are, you're getting around. I see you giving them out. Hey, you say, wait, I'm just trying to represent the one that sent me, is all I'm trying to do. That's the best way to do it. I got this article I gave you this morning in the news about this lady. And this is a beautiful looking young lady. I mean, she could be a model, Brother Chris. Look at that. How beautiful she is. I mean, beautiful girl. She's a FedEx worker, 20 years old. I told some of you about it in Sunday school. And she went to the lady's house there, and the lady told her, she said, her husband had cancer, and she felt sorry for her. And she said here, she said, I drove up, drove off. My heart's pounding. I do probably 20 or more stops. And she said, I have to go back. She said, I stopped what I was doing. I went back to that neighborhood. I rang her doorbell. And when she came down the stairs, she had tears in her eyes when she saw it was me. And she just smiled. And she said, I took her hand right there and just prayed for her and her husband. And she wept and we wept. You know what that lady did? She was an ambassador for Jesus Christ. She said here, she said, every day I get up, every day I pray, every day for the Lord to use me somehow. You know what that is? That's an ambassador right there. That's somebody that says, hey, I want to represent, not FedEx, forget about FedEx. I want to represent the one that sent me down this earth. Because I'm going to tell you, people need help. There's an old poem. Christ has no hands but our hands to do His work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead them in the way. He has no tongues but our tongues to tell them how He died. He has no help but our help to bring them to His side. We are the only Bible the careless world will read. We are the sinner's gospel. We all the scoffers heed. We are the Lord's only message given in word and deed. I want to say an ambassador, where it should be an ambassador for Christ. We ought to be a messenger. We ought to be the one that sent. We ought to be the servant of Jesus Christ. And they represent the one that sent them. I'll tell you something else about a message, about an ambassador. They repeat the message of the one that sent them. They don't give their opinions. Oh, when you listen to, have you ever seen Nikki Haley at the United Nations or some of these folks? You know what she'll say, Nikki Haley? She was our ambassador to the United Nations. She'll say, well, she said, the President of the United States, he'd like to convey the message of this. She'd never say, you never hear one of them say, well, here's what I think we need to do. She'll say, the President of the United States would like for y'all to know this. You know what they do? They repeat the message of the one that sent them. Their opinion don't matter. Their suggestions don't matter. Has nothing to do with it. The official wording is that they serve as to the pleasure of the President of the United States of America. You and I ought to serve to the pleasure of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ought to repeat the message of the one that sent us. Not our opinions. Not our suggestions. When I was a young preacher, a young Christian rather, I wouldn't even say called to preach then. But I'd argue with people. I thought that's what you did. I thought that's what you did. I mean, you know, they'd ask where'd Cain get his wife, you know, how did they get all the animals in the ark, all that bit. And I realized that's not even worth fooling with. You know what I'd learned a little time ago, a little bit later? I learned just to repeat the message of the one that sent me. Because you can win the argument and lose the soul. When I get in that kind of stuff, I just say, we'll talk about that some other time. Let's get over here and talk about Calvary. Let's talk about the Lord. Turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. I want to say about a messenger, about an ambassador, he repeats the message of the one that sent him. That's what he repeats. Whoever sent him, the President of the United States, when they get over there, they give what the President told him. Look at John chapter 1. There's that great ambassador, John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a great ambassador. While you're going to John chapter 1, go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. John chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. John was an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Paul was an ambassador. Peter was an ambassador. John chapter 1. And John had a lot going for him. He was a cousin of Jesus. He was filled with the Holy Spirit from his womb. All that stuff. You know, they had a supernatural birth. John chapter 1 verse 19. This is the record of John. When the Jews and priests and Levites from Jerusalem asked him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied, but confessed, I am not the Christ. I'm not him. And they asked him, then art thou Elias? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? He said, no. And they said, who art thou, boy? Who are you then? That we may give an answer to them that tell us, what sayest thou thyself, who you are? He said, I'm just the voice of one crying in the wilderness. You know all we are? We're a voice. We're not the Word. He is not. Jesus Christ was the Word. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the same was in the beginning with God. John wasn't the Word. He said, I'm just a voice speaking the Word. You know all I am today? Up here, I'm just a voice trying to give you the message He gave me. You know what an ambassador does? He repeats the message of the one that sent him. My message is not football. It's not politics. It's not the economy. It's not the shutdown. It's not building a wall. I don't care about that stuff. In eternity, that'll mean absolutely not a zero, nothing. But you know what'll matter? Christ Jesus and Him crucified. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I want to see an ambassador repeat the message of the one that sent him. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul said we're ambassadors for Christ. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Here's old Paul talking. 1 Corinthians chapter 2:2. Pick it up, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 2:1. Paul said, "And brother, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God." He said, "I didn't come in here trying to impress you to show you how smart I was." He was a smart guy. He said, verse 2, "For I have determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Paul said, "I got one message. I got a one-track mind, and I'm set on one thing, and the only thing I want to know is Jesus Christ and Him crucified." You know what an ambassador does? He repeats the message of the one that sent him. That's what I'm trying to do. That's what I want to try to do my whole life. Tell about Him. My words and your words mean nothing. They mean nothing in eternity. His message is John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have..." That's His message. He repeats the message of the one that sent Him. Turn to Acts chapter 4. I'll give you a few verses through the book of Acts. Show you what they're doing. This is the first New Testament church in Acts chapter 4. They're not giving their opinions. They're not giving suggestions. You realize, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. I got a message on this. When you're reading in the book of Acts, they don't have a written Bible. All they got is part of the Old Testament. They don't have the New Testament like you and I got. But you would think they did. Because look at Acts chapter 4, verse 29. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 29 says this. Acts 4:29, "And now, Lord, behold thy threatenings, and grant of thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word." That was their message. Look at Acts chapter 8. Flip to Acts chapter 8. You know what the message of that New Testament church? They repeated the message of the one that sent him. They were speaking His words, not theirs. Acts chapter 8, verse 4. Acts chapter 8, verse 4. "Therefore they were scattered abroad, went about and preaching the word." Look at that verse 25. Look down to verse 25. "And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord," over and over and over in the book of Acts. I could go on and on. Acts 13:5 said they preached the word of God. Acts 13:49, "And the word of God was published throughout the region," over and over and over and over. What are you trying to say? They had one message. And that was the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. You want an ambassador to us? He repeats the message of the one that sent him. You know what Tommy Tillman does over in Mongolia and Thailand? He's not over there telling about the Republicans and Donald Trump. That's not what he's doing. You know what Brother Cleghorn's doing in Indonesia over there in the tribal people? He's just doing the same thing. They're repeating the message of the one that sent them. Christ Jesus. That's why they're there. Sometimes, you know, repeating that message. I was thinking about this when I was working on this message. Sometimes it don't seem like it goes very far, doesn't it? But it does. I remember Dr. Ruckman one time talked about one of his messages. And when Brother Ruckman first started preaching, he's crude, Brother Ruckman. No church would have him. No church would have him. Only place he could preach was chain gangs. He'd go out to the prisoners and preach to chain gangs. And he'd go out in the street and preach and draw pictures. No church would have him. And he went one time, he said, to North Carolina. And he set his board up to draw a picture he could draw. And that's what he'd do. He'd set a board up and draw a picture. Get a crowd up and preach. And he said it was a rainy, cold day in North Carolina. And he stood out there on the street corner and set his board up. And nobody came. Not one person. Nobody was a ghost town, Miss Rachel. But God called him to preach, he said. So he preached. He said he preached on behold of a man. Message on Jesus. He preached that message, behold the man, went through the whole thing, just like he had a crowd there. When he got to the end of the thing, he said, every head bowed, every eye closed. And he went to an invitation. If you're not saved this morning, I ask you to trust Jesus Christ right now. Bow your head. Went on about his business. He said he was preaching about 30 years later in a church, and a guy came up to me and said, "You don't know me. You never met me." He said, "I'm a pastor of a church." He got saved. He said, "I got saved one day. You was preaching in North Carolina on the street corner." And he told Ruckman about it. He said, "You was preaching out there all by yourself." He said, "You didn't see anybody." But he said, "I was in the service station behind where you were preaching." He said, "When you gave an invitation and you led the sinner's prayer," he said, "I prayed right there and got saved. I've been in the ministry 20 years. You know what that is? It's the message of Him that sent us. That's the only message we got to work. Is that one? I can give you illustration after illustration after illustration after illustration. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 real quick. This is our church verse. This is what I put on our sign. This is what's on some of our tracts. This is what's on our little booklets down there. This is what I live by. This is our the verse that I tie to this church is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. It's a great verse. It says this, 2 Corinthians 4, 5, "For we preach not ourselves." We don't preach Pearl Lake Baptist Church. We don't preach Terry Watkins. We don't preach nothing else. We don't preach Republicans. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. That's what we're about. We're about preaching Him. I'm reminded of Daniel Webster. Daniel Webster was one of the great senators of the country, a great orator. He was kin to Noah Webster, the guy that invented the dictionary. He lived in the late 1800s. Oh, Daniel Webster did, very popular. He was Secretary of State for 3 or 4 different presidents. Well known, great orator. He was very famous in his day. And he was a Christian man. He used to go to a little bitty church about like this and a handful of folks in New Hampshire. And his niece asked him one time, that she said, "Uncle Daniel, why do you go to that little bitty church?" She said, "Why don't you go to them big old churches where all your buddies and a politician, won't you go to all those?" And he said, "Well," he said, "if I go to them big old churches, they'll recognize and honor Daniel Webster, the great statesman." He said, "I like to go to that little church because they got a man of God in there and he recognized the great Savior, Jesus Christ." You know what we're trying to do here in this little church? We're trying to recognize the Savior. We're not worried about people or things going on. We got one message, and that's the one that He sent us. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, our Lord. Not only do they repeat the message, I'll tell you something else. I'll tell you something else about an ambassador. They represent the one that sent them. They repeat the message of the one that sent them. And I'll tell you something else they do. They repeal the world that they were sent to. Ambassadors, they'll go to China and they'll live in China. But you know what? They may live in China, but they don't live for China. They just go there to represent the country from where they go, and they repeal the world that they're in right there. That's not their home. Brother, they're foreign over there. They may be an ambassador, but they're there for one reason and one reason only. They're not there on tourists. They're not there on vacation. They're not there sightseeing. They have one purpose there, and that's to represent the one that sent them, and they repel the world that they were sent to. They're not home in China. You know Tommy Tillman? Tommy Tillman's an ambassador for Jesus Christ. What he is? You know what he did? He left his country, left his home, and he went over to Mongolia and Thailand, and he's over there as an ambassador for Jesus. He represented the one that sent him, repeating the message of the one that sent him, and he repeals the world where he's to. You see, Thailand and Mongolia, that's not his home. You know what? America's not his home. You know me and you? If you're a born-again child of God, I got news for you this morning. You're as much a foreign missionary as Tommy Tillman. We're in a foreign country right now. Thank God this is not my home. Pinson, Alabama is where I live, but that's not my home. That's just where I stay right now. America's not my home, thank God. I got something so much better than this. I'm a foreign missionary. I'm an ambassador for Jesus Christ on this earth. This is a foreign land, brother. I mean, big time. I gave you that article this morning. Well, they're taking men. They claim to be women. And they're giving her cervix spears, Miss Jack. They don't have a cervix. But they're making them think they don't want to offend them. And they're treating them like a woman. This world is gone absolutely insane. Brother Roloff used to say, and this was in the 80s, this world's an insane asylum run by the inmates. Boy, isn't that the truth, man. I want to tell you, they repeal the world they're sent to. Thank God this whole world is not my home. I'm an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Billy Graham's favorite verse I've given you before is Galatians 6:14. "God forbid that I should glory save on the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." And it said this, "By whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto it." This whole world's not my home anymore. John 15:19, Jesus said, "If you're the world would love you, but because you're not of the world, and I've chosen you out of the world, therefore this world hates you." It said, "If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." You see what he's trying to say? I'm trying to tell you this morning, an ambassador goes in that world and represents the one that sent him in another land. That's where I'm at today. Thank God this is not my home. Thank God, brethren, one day God took me out of this thing. That song we've been singing here this morning, some of those songs. We got here Thursday night, we singing that song, I'm getting ready to leave this world. Remember that? Boy, it got good. It got good. I think the building was going like this a little bit. I'm getting ready to leave this world. And brother, thank God this is not my home. I'm just a foreign missionary. I'm an ambassador for Christ down here. That old song we sing, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home. Thank God in this world anymore. 1 Peter 2:11 said, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims." That's what I am. I'm a stranger and a pilgrim down here, Miss Rachel. I'm just passing through. I think of Brother Larry Cooper when he's in the hospital and started having a lot of problems. He's in there about 6 months, in and out, the last 6 months of his life. He spent a lot of time there, a lot of problems. And I remember some of the last words he told Miss Jan. I'll never forget it. He said, "Honey, I don't want you to be mad at me. But," he said, "I'm tired. I want to go home." You know what that is? That's an ambassador. You see, this world's not home. This world wasn't Miss Michelle's home. She's home now, see. This thing down here is just a passing through. It's just a thing to walk through. Brother David Beard, before he went home to be with the Lord a few months ago, the last few months, I say, "Brother David, what should we pray about?" He said, "Pray, tell him to pray, pray, pray God to take me home." You know what Ambassador does? He repeals that world he's sent to down here. This is not home, Miss Annie Mae. This is not it. "I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered in the heart of man the things which God had prepared for him that love him." I want to say about that ambassador, he represents the one that sent him. He don't represent himself. He repeats the message of the one that sent him. He repeals the world that they were sent to. That's not his home. I want to say about the ambassador this morning, he reports to the one they serve. The ambassador reports to the one that they serve. I'm giving you that. They serve for the pleasure of the President of the United States. I listened to Mike Pompeo the other day. He's Secretary of State, and he is on one of these shows, or flipped it on the news or some ABC News or something. And he was on there and he's talking about it. He was at Iran, Iraq or something. I remember his words. I remember he said this. He said, "I'll have to get back with you because I'll have to report back to the President of the United States and I'll get you a reply." You know what me and you do? An ambassador, we report back to the one that we serve. We're going to give account to him one day. We'll report back to him and we'll give account for the one we serve down here. I remember Dr. Ruckman, one of the last things he ever wrote, and that guy wrote 350 books. I don't know anybody in modern time done what that guy done. And one of the last things he wrote, his eyes were, he couldn't see, he was about blind. He actually said it on a tape machine. And a fella in up in England, I think it was, asked him to tell him what he learned. And he had, one of the questions he asked Dr. Ruckman, he had 7 questions. And he asked him, "Dr. Ruckman, what do you think of your life, or what do you think you accomplished, or something like that?" And he said, "I don't know." He said, "I have one thing in life." He said, "I got one thing on my desk, and it just says this, Peter Ruckman, a servant of Jesus Christ." He said, "That's all I've been down this earth." He said, "I've been a servant for Him." He said, "Whether a good servant or a bad servant or a moderate servant or how much I got accomplished," he said, "I don't know till I meet Him at the judgment seat of Christ and He'll weigh it out." But he said, "All I've been is a servant." You know all we are? We're a servant. You read the Bible 186 times in the New Testament, we're called a servant of Jesus Christ. That's what we are. We report back to the one that we serve. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Romans 14:12 says this, "So then all of us shall give account of himself to God." Hebrews 9:27. That great verse, "It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment." We're all going to stand before the judgment of God. If you're saved this morning, you'll stand at the judgment seat of Christ for your works. If you're lost, you'll be judged at the great white throne judgment and cast into the lake of fire. Revelation chapter 20. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Here's the judgment seat of Christ. It says this about you and I. We're going to be judged not for our sins, but for our works. I love Brother Earl Ankrum. one of the best preachers I've heard. He gets to you. And Brother Earl, he'll pray this a lot of times when he prays, when he gets ready to preach. He say, "Lord, I just pray, God, that I'll give them something that'll help them when they get to the judgment seat of Christ." We don't have enough preaching on that anymore. His newsletter this month, he started it off with this: "God's been good to this little ant." And this is the last words of his newsletter. He told a little about his family, what they're doing. And he said this: "And as for myself, I'm just trying to get a crumb at the judgment seat of Christ." Because it's coming. It's coming. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're all going to be there. 1 Corinthians 3:9. "For we are laborers together with God. We are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon, for other foundation can no man lay than where it laid is Jesus Christ." I mean, that's where it starts, with the Lord Jesus. And it says this: "Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, and hay, stubble, every man's work," your work, "every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he has built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire." And that said, one day God's going to judge you and the works that you've done since you got saved, that foundation, and the things that'll go through the fire, you'll be able to keep that precious stone. And I wrote preachers say, "Hey, as some folks, all they're going to have at the feet of Jesus is a pile of ashes. I don't want that." I'm like Brother Earl, I'm going to have a little bit to lay down there. Because an ambassador, one day, we're going to have to come back and report to the one that we serve. "How you doing? How much of this week did you represent the one that sent you? How many tracts did you give out? How many people did you talk to Jesus Christ? How many people did you try to pray with and help? How many of you repeated the message that He sent you? How many of you represented Him this week?" David Cassidy, the great teenage idol I told you before, his last words — that guy was famous, had all kinds of things with the Partridge Family — his last words to his daughter was, "A wasted life. Boy, I don't want that. I don't want that. I want to do something for God. Because one day I'm going to have to report to Him at that judgment seat of Christ. And I want to at least have something there, Lord. I gave it a shot. I gave it a shot, Lord." Last week was the national championship game. We don't want to talk about that too much, do we? 2 minutes when it was about over, Miss Rachel, I told my son, I said, "We're going to watch Beverly Hillbillies." I'd had enough of that game. That was terrible. That was the worst beating Nick Saban's ever had. And I flipped that thing at 2 minutes over, and I missed the best part of the whole game. I missed Dabo Swinney giving his testimony on there. Did you hear it? I read about it later on. A lot of them say God. Jalen Hurts, say after his, he said, "Well, I just gave it to God." They'll say God. But rarely do they mention Jesus Christ. But old Dabo, he lifted up the Lord. Dabo said this: "For me personally, joy comes from focusing on Jesus other than yourself. All the credit, all the glory goes to my Lord, number one." Woo! Had to be worth staying up watching that game. That was amazing. I got reading a little bit about old Dabo. I didn't know a whole lot about him. I knew he grew up down here in Alabaster. I know some people that grew up with him. In a news conference in July, he said this: "We serve a big God. Big, powerful, and He's real. And I know that. To experience what I've experienced is surreal, but it's comforting because I know that He is. I know that He loves me. We're imperfect people. But I know God has a plan, and I just try to live my life in a way that can hopefully be an encouragement to others." They ask him, "Brother Ben," they say, "what is the greatest accomplishment in your whole life?" You know what he said? "The greatest accomplishment my whole life is to see my 3 sons come to Jesus Christ." Woo! Clifton, let's go! I got a new favorite team. In the ACC news conference, he said this: "Hopefully, my life's going to be pleasing to my Maker, the Lord Jesus, because I know I'm going to meet Him one day and give account. And He's not going to pat me on the back talking about how many wins I had, or how many Coach of the Year trophies I had, or how much money I made. That has nothing to do with it. You know what that guy is? You say, yeah, he's a good football coach. No, he's an ambassador for Jesus Christ. He'd get on that TV, and I was talking to him some other night, Thursday night, and they said, you think God has an interest in that game? I said, he probably is not interested. Who wins? But I said, he's interested in Dabo Swinney getting out there bragging on his son like that. That pleased him, brother. And millions and millions and millions and millions of people heard that. I've seen article after article about that. The witness he gave for the Lord Jesus. You say, what was he? He was an ambassador for Christ. That's what we ought to be. I mean, here's a guy, all that going on, and still has enough of him, Miss Rachel, that he talks, the first thing he wants to talk about, the Lord Jesus. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, for the opportunity and the privilege and the joy, Lord, to represent you as ambassador, Lord, to represent the one that saved us, the one that sent us. Thank you, Lord, not only that, you gave us a great message, Lord. And we repeat that message, how that Christ Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, that we can go out in this country and still have the freedom we do. To thank you for these tracks we got out here, these cars and these buttons and bumper stickers and anything else we can use, Lord, to just kind of witness and lift you up, Lord. And Lord, just pray your blessing upon the message of this week coming up. Help us, Lord, wherever we might be. Help us to be searching for the opportunity, Lord, to be an ambassador for our Lord and Savior, Lord. We love you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.